Good morning. Man, what an awesome worship set. What is that? Of course, it's a smiley face. What is it really? It's a colon and half of a parenthesis. So this started out one way, but as time goes by and context changes, we all recognize the first thing you see is a smiley face, right? Try to put that in any Word document or an email today, and it, bing, turns into a little round smiley face, right? So certainly 40 years ago, I don't think that that would have been a smiley face at that time. I did have my big Texas Instrument calculator that took, I don't know, 4 to 6 AA batteries and could do 4 functions, and I would type in dot 7734 so I could turn it upside down and it would say hello. So good times. You could spell, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I got a math major there. Let's see here. Oh, I've got to turn it on. How about that? That was almost split right down the middle. So pound sign. What's a pound sign for? Number, but, you know, anybody been on a conference call? Beep, 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 bonk, right? So it gets you in there. But it has turned into the hashtag. And what's a hashtag mean? We don't know. Yeah. If you're on the upper echelon of the legacy life, you're not quite sure what that means, but hashtag is a way to kind of track a movement, right? So, and people throw new movements up every day. You know, hashtag, I remember when Sandy Hook happened, and I threw out there, hashtag lights on for Sandy Hook. And I just kind of threw it out there in the world of digital exchange, and hundreds and hundreds of people accepted that. And just started, yeah, we got to throw our lights on, driving around with our headlights on in memory of the Sandy Hook tragedy. Some things, the Me Too movement definitely had the hashtag there, was driving that conversation, and some things came out of that. So it's really important that we have context and we understand where things are in our life ecosystem when we're presented with things. And I think it's really important that we do that as we study the Bible, too. One of the things we prayed about on Thursday night was that the members of Darby Creek would just become really good students of the Bible and really dive into that. And I want to share with you a way that I like to study the Bible. If you've read through the Bible before and you're reading through the Bible again, and in Skip's case, it's got to be close to 97 times, how can this part of Scripture become fresh to me again? And I hope that what you get out of today is helpful for you. But I also wanted to give some last calls, if you will, from Doug the Elder. Don't do that. Andrea did remind me that this is the least attended Sunday of the year. So, so if it goes badly, not that many people were poorly impacted. So let's go ahead and pray, and then I'll jump right into it. God, we just want to thank you so much for the power of worship, how music just brings words to life and moves us, and just ask God that we would take that power and that energy into the next 30 or 40 or 90 minutes and really see the glory of who you are and what you've done for us, and just the greatness of your word. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So tell me some things about the Apostle Peter. Some of your favorite things. Just shout them out.
He was a loud mouth.
What else? Favorite? He was the Rock. Yes, Jamie, of course you would say that. So when Jamie and I were doing Sunday school in the early days on worshiptainment, best word ever, he would dress up as Peter, and the kids would go, rock, 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 and he'd come out and bend this rod and then tell his Bible story. Some other story about Peter. What do you really like about Peter? Something that's memorable.
He cried out to God when he was singing.
Oh, yeah, he cried out to Jesus when he was singing, Jesus, save me. He did not write that song, but Oceans is definitely a reflection of that, right? How about one more? Oh, man, yeah. Denied Christ three times. Absolutely. Well, I made up a list for you. So he drank wine that came from water. Pretty cool. Saw Jesus tear up the temple. When we read about Jesus putting on and doing the Hulk thing in the temple because they had taken that holy place, it says the disciples were with him. And he was one of the very first disciples. He's one of the 12 that did not leave Jesus. When this group of disciples figured out, you know what, this guy isn't here to take over the country and throw out the emperor, and well, why are we hanging out with him? He was one of the 12, and Jesus said, why did you stay here? And he said, where would we go? You are the Holy One. So he got it. Spent 2 days with Samaritan believers. So Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, and the disciples come up to him. They go, why is Jesus talking to the woman? Okay, she's leaving. Jesus, what is going on here? Why are you talking to the woman? And then all these people, these Samaritans, come back to hear about Jesus. And if you don't know about the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans were considered a lesser class by the Jews, who were thought of as a lesser class by the Romans. Kind of interesting. They were offended by Mrs. Zebedee. Why were they offended by her? Come on, Bible students.
My son,
yes. So she's called the mother of James and John when you're reading the Bible, but their last name was Son of Zebedee, so we're going to call her Mrs. Zebedee. She came to Jesus and said, hey, what do I got to do to get my kids to sit next to you in heaven? And it says after that, all of the disciples were angry about that. So this is Peter. He's like, really? You sent your mom to talk to Jesus about getting a good seat? He saw Jesus defend and then free the woman convicted of adultery. And that was a sin that constituted the death penalty. What was Jesus doing the whole time as these guys were, blah, 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 she did this and she did. He's drawn in the dirt. And they slowly left. And Peter saw that. What was that like for him? He was directed to pay taxes by Jesus. And you know what's really cool? Paul, you're going to love this. The tax came from a fish. Peter was a fisherman, so he used Peter's line of work to pay Caesar what's due Caesar. It wasn't some crazy thing that was completely poof. It was kind of crazy. It came out of the mouth of a fish. But used his work to pay his tax. He saw Jesus walk on the water, and he walked on the water for a moment. We go to that second part really quick, don't we? But he did climb out of the boat because he knew who Jesus was. He had seen this power of Jesus working. He saw Jesus heal a crippled man into walking. And then Jesus told the disciples, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. He saw Jesus cry, and then he commanded his friend to be freed from death, Lazarus. He watched his little brother. Who's his little brother? You may have missed this on the feeding of the 5,000. It's Andrew who goes and finds the boy with the two fishes and the 5 loaves of bread, and Andrew brings it back and says, look, Jesus, I found this. I don't know what Peter's attitude was, but I certainly would have been, 5,000, you bring this with any sense that you thought this was a good idea? And then he collected the scraps from the 5,000 people and filled up 12 baskets. So Jesus has the disciples in the room, and he's going around, he's starting to wash the disciples' feet. Peter says, "You ain't washing my feet, Jesus," recognizing who Jesus was, that he is the creator of heaven and earth. And he says, "You are not going to wash my feet. I'm not worthy." And then Jesus says, "If I don't wash your feet, you can't be with me." And Peter says, "Well, in that case, wash my whole body." So again, loudmouth Peter, right? Over the top. He witnessed the triumphant entry of Jesus. And then a week later, the cruel march to Golgotha. He cut off an enemy's ear, only to have Jesus heal it. If you read closely about the three times that he denied Christ, he was swearing. Oh, it's got to be so hurtful to him. He saw Jesus crucified by the government. He was the first man in the tomb. He wasn't as fast as John. Didn't quite have the training or something. But he was the first one. He ran, and went on in. John stood on the outside. Did you know he swam the length of a football field? So this is after the resurrection. There's a guy on the beach. He's got a fire going. "Hey, you guys caught any fish?" No, it's been a rough day. Try the other side, throws in the net. Ooh, they can't pull in. Boom, Peter knows that's Jesus. He throws on his cloak, jumps in the water, swims 100 yards. He loved Jesus. So Peter, who denied Christ three times, Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." "Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." "Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." Why is he asking me this? This one, man, when you read it, it is so powerful. We don't talk about this at all. And it's in towards the end of John, and Jesus has already gone back to heaven, and the disciples are all together in a place, and Peter says, "We have to replace Judas because he had an allotment of the ministry." He thought of Judas that much, despite what he did, that this man had a purpose in God's kingdom, that he could have gone and do that. We have to continue the work. On the day of Pentecost, Peter speaks up, the same guy who said, "Blank, no, I don't know Jesus." He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he starts talking about how great Jesus Christ is and what he has done for all of mankind and how the Jews and the Romans conspired and they murdered him. But this was so that you may have eternal life. He escaped prison twice. He led 5,000 people to Christ on another day by giving his little portion of the scriptures. He instituted the church action of deacons. So we read that in Acts, where the apostles really needed to focus on preaching the word and was part of the group that said, "We need somebody to wait tables and to take care of the widows and whatnot." Oh, man. It was Peter who convicted Ananias and Sapphira. Instant death sentence. He was serious about what happens in the church. He healed two crippled men. The first one is he and John are walking, and there's this beggar. And Peter says, "Look on us." This is the same man who denied three times. He saw the friends of Dorcas crying. And he went in and he prayed. And he asked that God would raise her from the dead. And God raised her from the dead. Had to throw the name in there. He led Cornelius and his friends to Christ. Cornelius was a man of faith, not the faith, but a man of faith. And at this time, Peter was not yet reaching out to the Gentiles. And he had to go through this vision. And you can read about this in Acts 10. And Peter, living the holy life, said, I will not touch anything unholy. And the Gentiles, the goy, were unholy people, just like the Samaritans were. I will not go to them. And Jesus said in this vision, don't call anything unholy that I've made holy. So he took a step of faith, followed these people, followed this man back to Cornelius' house. And then he saw the Holy Spirit come on them. And because of that experience, he championed that the Gentiles should not have to follow Jewish law, that they can come to Christ just as they are, and was the first one to bring that to light. But he and the other elders, the apostles, brought up that, hey, by the way, we're going to write you a letter. Don't do these other things that defile you. There's a lot more things that you guys are probably missing. Oh, is he going to touch about that or talk about this? But these things are really core things for me when I read 1 Peter. And that's what today's really about. Hashtag listen to Pete. So somebody can throw that out there and see what happens. Probably wonder who Pete is. It probably means Pete Rose will get into the Hall of Fame or something. On its own, and relative to the life of the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, that's it. That's his epistles. That's his portion of the New Testament that he writes. Now, there's more of his sayings recorded in the book of Acts and all the Gospels, the four Gospels there. But you would think that as much as we know about this guy, certainly he would have written as much as John did. Maybe as much as Paul, but he didn't. It's these two smaller books. They are really good books. Compared to Paul, he's very concise. I wonder if I'm going to get that someday. Yeah. Hey, Doug, by the way, 2020, what did you mean by saying, compared to me, Peter was very concise? Of course, he wouldn't stop there. So I wanted to just take one section from each chapter of 1 Peter and relate it to that list that we just went through. And the scriptures on their own, don't get me wrong, they are absolutely inspired, but part of the inspiration is who God chose to push the words through, right? So we're going to look at the scriptures as they stand, do a little bit of commentary, but also start weaving in Peter's life experience. And if I can show you guys how to do that, I really feel your time in the Word is just going to explode. So Roger Raymer was one of the authors of the Dallas Theological Seminary commentary sets. And I just really loved his introduction to 1 Peter. Those who read 1 Peter are encouraged to lift their eyes from present problems and trials. And then he goes on. And behold the vistas provided by an eternal perspective. Shelby and I have had a chance twice to go out west, and everything's big out there, right? And just go stand on these bluffs, climb mountains, get terribly sick from altitude sickness, and have and just see these incredible things. There was this valley that we were going through in Colorado, and we passed a World War II training area. They taught the soldiers how to do Arctic style fighting, and there was this valley and then the mountains. We said, "Oh, this is really pretty. We ought to be through this in about 10 minutes. About an hour and a half later, we're still not across it. And we're driving. And then we hear, hey, there's bad snowstorms coming. You better get to someplace quick. And the reason I share that is when we have that higher perspective and really see how great God is, and we pull back from the minute, what's directly in front of us, it is amazing. I really like that part of 1 Peter here. So jumping in, 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. Guys, we are called not to just be pushed by the Holy Spirit, not to just enjoy being together and singing and worshiping and reading the Bible, but to really transform ourselves, to own what's going on, to take action in our lives, not to be a victim of circumstance. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, the intention is you're going to obey. You're going to listen to what the apostle says. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. We are praying here Thursday night, and I was just struck by the people who had the opportunity to come to the prayer meeting Tuesday night, that they had made that time holy. And what that means is they have set this aside for God. And being a holy person means you are setting yourself aside for God. It doesn't mean you're going to sprout wings. It doesn't mean you're sinless. But it does mean I am choosing to stay away from certain things, to behave certain ways, to talk a certain way, to be set aside for God, so that I have a chance to give a reason for the hope that I have. You should be holy, for I am holy, and if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear. Be serious about this. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. In case you weren't sure, it's in 1 Peter. So just a couple of things I thought of. So up here, being sober-minded, and as obedient children, do not conform to the passions. Was Peter thinking about when Jesus was in front of that woman who's scared to death she's going to be killed, who is just being torn apart by these men who are just shouting, she deserves to die, she's unforgivable, she's a terrible person, she might even be a house wrecker. And Jesus simply says, go and sin no more. So Peter's taking that and laying that on himself, thinking about the sin that God has carried him through. So tearing up the temple, when he's talking about holy, perhaps he's thinking about when Jesus was in the temple and he's so angry that these people have taken advantage of people who have come to worship and turn it into a marketplace and cheapen the whole experience. Imagine if you had to come here and Shelby and Caleb and Deshaun and Calvin are up here and they send this big guy, Jacob, to the back door. Hey, you want a good seat or you want the back row? Well, I want a good worship seat. $5. I'll just sit in the back row. 3.5. I don't have any money. Standing room in the parking lot. So take that to the furthest extreme, and that's what was interfering when these people were coming to a holy place to worship, that they were being interfered with money, noise, all this other stuff. No wonder it made him so angry. And then down below, love one another earnestly. You're my disciples if you love one another. Have you done anything earnestly? earnestly with energy, with your whole heart, pouring everything you have into it. Can you love one another that much? We have to. All right, on to chapter 2. Yay, it's flying. And again, another B. Doesn't say try. Doesn't say commit yourself to. It says be. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Now, we think 1 Peter was written about 64 A.D. Nero went nuts in 67 A.D. So that there's some people might point to, well, Peter was talking about how the church was being attacked, and they were some. They had certainly been dispersed. He even talks about, for those of you who are in the dispersal. But at this time, it wasn't to the level that Nero raised the attacks on Christians. Certainly in his own life, he had suffered, and at the hands of the government, whether that was the Jewish government or the Roman government. But he tells us to live as free. You know, one of the things that we were praying about Thursday was this upcoming election year, right? A lot of stuff going on, a lot of people throwing a lot of things around by a lot of people, but they're people. And Jesus tells us through Peter, and even Jesus' own work, when he put the ear back on the government official at his ear cut off, when he got the taxes from the fish, all these things, there is a purpose for government, right? And he talks about it here. So he said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, right? There is a meaningfulness to having government, and we ought to honor that as being allowed by and supported by God. Honor everyone, even Judas. So they didn't just move on about Judas and forget it. They said Judas was given some work, and we're going to pick up the work and run with it. Love the brotherhood. Just it really makes me think about Peter's work to champion for the Gentile believers, that they don't have to go through the things that people who grew up in the Jewish households did. All right, 1 Peter 3. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ as the Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone or to present your experience, who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. And I was going through some tough times back in December, and I was looking through my notes, and I had written this down. And if you write it down, I'll feel really good. No. We see Jesus better, more clearly, through the lens of suffering. And some of you have suffered so much more than I ever have. And hopefully, yes, you're saying, yes, that really did happen. And then our shadow is thrown longer the closer we are to his bright light. So the work that he has for us, the influence that we have in the world, is the closer we are to him, right? So Peter had been imprisoned at least twice, so he knew what it was to suffer. After the third time, when the rooster crowed, what kind of suffering had that been like? That just had to be terrible. making a defense for the hope that you have. Do it with gentleness and respect. At Pentecost, Peter starts talking to these people and he says, brothers. He's doing it with gentleness and respect. Before the Sanhedrin themselves, he even says to them, I can't say that I'm going to obey you and be quiet, because God Almighty is telling me I got to go share the word. All right, 1 Peter 4, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Sober-minded and self-controlled for the sake of your prayers. Above, keep loving one another earnestly. Again, loving one another earnestly. It takes purpose. It takes desire. It takes our drive. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. I'm so glad Julie loves me, because you guys think I'm pretty cool, but she's covering up a lot. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Man, some of you just have such a great gift of hospitality. You just love to be around people and be with people. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So there is the big grace, right? But then being able to use our gifts, being able to use our personalities, that's our varied grace, right? That's what makes church so wonderful. If we were all exactly the same, it would be a pretty, you'd be going, yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, I got that. It's not the same thing, right? But we are, have these varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Oh boy, that's a big anchor there. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I hope you all can say amen. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So the first thing I thought of, the prayers. You know, Jesus' prayer was, Lazarus, come forth. I don't know what it's like to be the Creator praying to the Creator, that something happens, but certainly that's what it was. He was absolutely sad. Because the scriptures, this is where it's recorded that Jesus cried. It says Jesus wept. John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible. Now you can win it, Bible trivia. And then Peter, he humbly goes in and prays for her, and Dorcas comes back to life. This idea of serving one another, just, you know, the base word of deacon means to serve. It's not just about the office of deacon, but it's, hey, how can I help? Can I pray for you? It's all this idea of serving one another. So perhaps he was thinking of Acts 6 there. You know, whoever serves is one who serves by a strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So Matthias picking up Judas's allotment again. And therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Jesus, the Creator, shattered science, right? He took water in stone and made wine. And what kind of wine was it? Good. At the end of day one, God said, it is good. On the end of day two, God said, on the end of day three, on the day four, day five, yeah. So when Jesus creates, it's always good, right? And then letting Peter walk on the water, that broke some physics So that's the kind of God that he's entrusting his soul to, that God is not limited by our understandings of science. So, last chapter here, 1 Peter 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Anybody want to be an elder now? Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly. Guys, love the elders. I know you do. As we get new elders and new people start coming to Darby Creek, teach them how to and why to love the elders. They are not doing this great work and serving you under compulsion, but willingly. And sometimes our hearts are broken. Sometimes we're filled with joy. Sometimes we're given stuff that we're like, how do you handle this? And sometimes things go perfectly according to plan. But willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. You guys want elders that are eager. And I've loved that part of Darby Creek. Not domineering over those in charge, but being examples to the flock. I love it when Paul says, hey, be like me. And that's something I've challenged myself with, and I fall down quite a bit. But hopefully our elders are always saying, hey, in their hearts, hey, be like me. This is the example I live. I'm involved with small groups. I study my Bible. I pray for others. Be like me. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. That doesn't mean slave. It means be a student. Because they've lived a few years ahead of you, and they've run through some battles, and they've seen what suffering does in bringing Jesus more clearly into sight. Clothe yourselves, all of you, not just the elders, not just young people, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So Peter was in love with Jesus. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, absolutely best buds. Replaced the lost minister. Preached the word with conviction. Called out sin. Suffered. Saw to the needs of the sick. Championed the cause of the diminished. Definitely an elder among elders, right? Kind of guy we ought to emulate. Three times he denied Christ. Three times Christ reinvested his trust in him. Feed my sheep. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Man, whew, sometimes when things are hard, they're hard for, it seems like, a long time. But at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him. If you know eventually God's going to pull you out of it, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. How many of you have watched, like, National Geographic? I guess that's probably before 1974, or some Discovery Channel. What's the lion doing when they're hunting? A successful lion. They're prowling, but they're not roaring. A roaring lion is going to scare you. A roaring lion is ticked off that you're in his territory. A roaring lion thinks he can intimidate you. A roaring lion's not going to catch you. And when your adversary is scaring you and roaring and making you fearful for this moment, go back and think that at the proper time, Jesus is going to exalt me. I don't have to be devoured. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood around the world. You ain't so special, but you are precious. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So just, I think about the pre-encounter with Cornelius. Three times that sheet, what is it with Peter and three? Three times the sheet had to come down, and the vision was take and eat. And three times Peter said, I'm not touching that. But God changed his heart. Love covers the sin, love the brotherhood, these things that you may see someone who's off course. You got to love them. You got to love them back. Galatians 6:1, talking about bringing back a brother who's fallen into sin. And then Ananias and Sapphira, they could have avoided that temptation of lying about their gift, right? Such a silly thing. That was purely for the sake of pride. Totally unnecessary. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. He who has the dominion. So, the power over everything. Just in these little portions of 1 Peter. He will call you. He wants his followers to do his work. He will restore you. He will confirm you. Yes, you are my child. He will strengthen you. He will establish you. He will crown you with a crown that's unfading. So the band can come on up here. So, where is the movement in your life? Peter here is talking to the Christians, those who have given their lives to Christ. These promises only are applicable to those who have given their lives to Christ. But it's such a great thing to be a part of. Many of you know I'm living with my mother, because I am a successful businessman. But one of the cool things is just being able to sit with my mom. She's a few years older than me. She's been a Christian a very, very long time. And she's just talking about the deconstructionists who are tearing apart Christianity for all the terrible things that it does for us. And that is just purely done from an outside view and a limited idea of what Christianity is really about. Christianity is really about Jesus Christ coming to this earth to fulfill a plan that started way back in the Garden of Eden, that we would all be able to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that we would be able to talk to him, that we would be able to be with him, that we would be led by him. So when we have communion here today, it is a institution that Jesus Christ started, that we do this when we get together to remember what he has done for us. Just like Peter may have while he was writing his letters. That he remembered who he was, that he was somebody who could fall down, that could mess up, that could lie, and yet he could be brought back into the wonderful graces of the church and even lead the church and be chosen to do so many wonderful things. So if you have not asked Jesus Christ into your heart, we got great elders here. They can tell you how to ask Jesus, how to become a Christian. But if you have, we just ask that you partake of communion today and take that little broken piece of matzo bread and that little cup of juice and just meditate about, where are you today? Where is your life? Are you conforming no longer to the ways that you used to be? Have you given over your life to Christ? Are you able to love the brotherhood? Are you able to sustain through suffering? And if this is a time for you to relight your fire, that'd be great.